And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gents. This is a boy casting over from Orlando, Florida, on this awesome international podcast, Good Wine and Great Laughs, Season 8, Episode 17. And today's topic is Roland Martin deconstructed Stephen A. Smith and Sean Hannity's comments. You know shortly the type of wine I am drinking. So ladies and gents, let's get this party started. Let's go! And ladies and gents, once again, this is your boy Casanova from Orlando, Florida, on this awesome international podcast, Good Wine and Great Laughs, Season 8, Episode 17. And once again, today's topic is Roland Martin deconstructed Stephen A. Smith and Sean Hannity's comments. And ladies and gents, today is Saturday, April the 27th, 2024. And the weather here in Orlandito will be with a mixed cloud and clouds and sun in the morning. Highs of 82 and lowers of 65 degrees. And before I jump right on today's topic, I have to talk about the wine of the day here at Casa Casanova. And ladies and gents, today I am drinking another wine from Romania. Is this wine called Budurasca Classic Fume. I tried to go on Google Translate to figure out the translation of the word Budurasca, but doesn't say the same thing. It must be like an area or a region in Romania, I think. If you're from Romania, ladies and gents, please let me know what Budurasca means. Fume translates to smoke. And this one here is a combination of different grape varieties. Has a Chardonnay, 30%, a Sauvignon Blanc, another 30%, Fetasca Regala, 30%, and Pinot Gris, 10%. And according to the label in the bag, and it states that each grape variety, the Chardonnay, the Sauvignon, the Blanc, and the Fetasca Regala, and Pinot Gris was vinified separately. The juices were then mixed, excepted for a small quantity of Chardonnay, which was fermented in oak barrels. A straw yellow color with appealing aromas of ripe melon, complemented by notes of oak. The taste reveals accents of quince and oak, leading to a very long and pleasant finish. Once again, this wine is from Romania. Alcohol percent is 13.5. Hallelujah! Love it. And this wine is a vintage of 2019, ladies and gents. I did have a Romania wine before, different brand, but let's see if this wine is going to be as good as the previous one. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very good white wine. I definitely recommend it. I give a 10 for this wine right here. And like I always do on every Saturday, you're going to see the picture of this wine on all my social medias, and also can see the image of this wine on my YouTube channel, Good Wine and Great Laughs. Ladies and gents, it's available for you. The picture is available for you on my social media in case you like to purchase the wine, like to see what the bottle looks like. It's available for you. right there. All right, ladies and gents, let's just jump on it. I'm going straight to the video. I'm not going to say anything. I want you to listen to. First of all, I'm going to listen to the audio from Roland Martin breaking down the shenanigans from Steve A. Smith on the Sean Hannity Fox News show. Let me stop the music, background music real quick. And let's jump on it. Give me 1 second.
Today, here I am. I'm moving, and I'm, you know, I'm moving to a new house and unpacking and packing, and lots of it's happening. So I'm looking at social media, and all of a sudden, I see people acting the fool, losing their mind, talking about some comments Stephen A. Smith made on the Sean Hannity show. And I see this 30 or 40 second clip that was posted. And anytime I hear some comments, what I like to do is I always have to say, what actually precipitated the comment? What set the comment up? What was the question? What was it? And so I want to walk through right now this whole segment, because even when I saw it at home, there were some problems that I had with it from a factual standpoint. So roll it.
All right. Now, last night we showed you a clip from my next guest who has a message for the Democratic Party. Here's a reminder.
It's much ado about nothing. To my liberal friends out there, all you're doing is showing that you're scared you can't beat them on the issues and the merits.
Here now with more ESPN host, the one, the only, he hates to admit he's a friend of mine. You can admit it. Just say it. My friend Stephen A. Smith is here.
Of course we're friends, man.
Anyway, great to have you. I thought that was gutsy. I kind of like your podcast because you go off into, you know, other topics besides the area of expertise that you're in, which is sports. You said that. First, the question I have is, what was the reaction to that?
Well, obviously, I took a lot of heat. A lot of people didn't like the fact that I said it. They wished that I had it. And when I give a damn, I'll let you know. I don't care. I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to speak what I believe to be true. And when I think about Donald Trump, I think about this case in New York. I mean, I'm looking at the Democrats right now. And again, primarily, I have voted Democrat throughout my life, but I'm utterly disgusted with what I'm seeing, because it seems to me that they're trying to use the law and the courts. They've clearly politicized this thing with Donald Trump because they can't come up with a strategy to offset the momentum. He's clearly gained in at least 5 polls. He's up. He's up in the polls over Biden, at least 5 polls that I counted. That's the reality of the situation. Despite the counts against them, the indictments against them being impeached twice and all of this other stuff, he is the presumptive GOP nominee. And you don't seem to have the issues in your favor, you believe. So because of that, you're going to manipulate the system as best as you possibly can to avoid him possibly running for re-election again. That appears to be their strategy, but I'm here to tell you, it's not working. It's not working at all. And to be quite honest with you, I don't mind the fact that it's not working, because I might not be a supporter of Donald Trump, but I want him to lose the right way. I want him to lose because you have better ideas and you make your case to the American people better than he does. That's why I want him to lose. I don't want him to lose the way they're trying to make him lose, because I actually think that the case in New York City is pretty weak, if not flat out bogus. Have you remember John Edwards? Have you remember Gary Hart? Have you remembered some of the things that Clinton has gone through? Now we're going to talk about a hush money case that took place while he was running for election in 2016, but he was in office until 2020. And now here you are in 2024, months before another election, that he's the presumptive GOP nominee. And this is what you're trying to do. It's a disgrace. It's weak. It's pathetic. And somebody needs to say it. The Democrats need to come up with a better strategy.
We all can have our opinion on something, but what we cannot have are our own facts on something. So what Stephen A. had to say in terms of by saying that this is bogus, here's the problem. What Donald Trump is on trial for is literally the exact
same thing his attorney pled guilty on. Henry, go to my iPad.
Get it!
This is a press release from August 21st, 2018, from the Department of Justice, from the U.S. Attorney's Office, the Southern District of New York. It says Michael Cohen pleads guilty in Manhattan federal court to 8 counts, including criminal tax evasion and campaign finance violations. So wait a minute. If the charges against Trump are bogus, were the charges against Michael Cohen bogus? The facts are the facts. If you break the law, you break the law. Right. Here we have the attorney for Donald Trump who pled guilty to the charges. That wasn't a Democratic setup. No Democrat made Donald Trump illegally pay off a porn star and use his attorney to hide the payoff because he did not want the voters to know about it. Let me remind Stephen A. and Sean Hannity, this happened before the election because Trump did not want the world to know that he paid off a porn star. This is called a fact. So it's hard to call Trump's trial bogus when it's literally the exact same charges that his own lawyer faced that he pled guilty to. So this is not a question of they're trying to get Trump. They got Cohen and he pled guilty to the exact same thing. Now, when Stephen A. was talking there, he mentioned several people. He mentioned John Edwards, and he mentioned Bill Clinton. Interesting. Henry, go to my iPad. On June 3rd, 2011, this is a press release from the Department of Justice. Former Senate and presidential candidate John Edwards charged for alleged role in scheme to violate federal campaign finance laws. Now, this was, of course, after the fact. Now, remember, he was the VP nominee for John Kerry. He was charged in 2011. He, of course, was a former United States senator. Was this Republicans going after a Democrat, John Edwards, in order to keep a Democrat out of the White House? Hold up. My bad. The date here says Friday, June 3rd, 2011. Oh, a Democrat was in the White House. Oh, I'm sorry. Was Obama president? Obama was elected 2009. Am I right? So this is 6-count indictment against former Senator John Edwards for violating federal election laws during his campaign for president of the United States. Quote, public servants are held to the same laws. This is the key. Public servants are held to the same laws as everyone else in this country. The position sought does not exempt anyone, even those running for president of the United States. See, here's the problem here. When I saw the segment and then when I hear these conservatives, what they're suggesting is going after Donald Trump is just so wrong. But if you don't do wrong shit, they don't go after you.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Has anyone bothered to remember that? That's the reason why he is the first former president to ever be indicted after serving.
because he did wrong shit. Now, Stephen A. also mentioned, well, he did these things before he won, and they waited all this time. That's because there is a document in the Department of Justice, which, by the way, was written under the Richard Nixon Department of Justice, because it was written so he could not get indicted while president, that says you can't go after a president while they're in office. That's actually a DOJ letter. That's actually not a ruling from a judge. That's not a ruling from the Supreme Court. That's not a law from Congress. That is a memo written under the Nixon Department of Justice. These folks are facts. That's the case. Now, the actions of Trump took place before. Guess what? Can't go after him while he's president. You pursue the charges afterwards because he no longer has immunity from prosecution. So that's actually why you waited. And then we talk about these cases against Donald Trump. When we look at these four indictments, okay, you got the hush money. You got that one. And then, of course, you have the federal indictments on classified documents in Florida. Why is that important? That's important because, let's remember, the Library of Congress kept asking Trump, can you turn the documents in? Can you turn them in? He wouldn't turn them in. Can you please turn the documents in? He wouldn't turn them in. Can you turn the documents in? He wouldn't turn them in. Can you turn the documents in? He wouldn't turn them in. The lawyers were negotiating with his lawyers for a very long time. He told his lawyers what he didn't have. Then, of course, then he said, oh, no, I didn't move documents, but he did. He wasn't the only person who was charged. So Stephen A., Sean Hannity, why is that a case? Because he broke the law. There's a sign above the Supreme Court says equal justice under law. This man has never been held to account. So how is he somehow being persecuted? All he had to do was turn the documents in. End of conversation. No FBI showing up at Mar-a-Lago. No lawyers. No indictments. No drama. No trial. No. He said, my documents. I can keep my documents. But he was wrong. They were classified documents. He did not declassify them while president. You can't declassify when you no longer have the power. So to even suggest that this case is political persecution, no, he broke the law. I just did a segment where a black man was pulled over for a broken taillight. And when the cops pulled him over, he had a civil issue, a civil warrant. They called, they said, yes, bring him in. And they tried to bring him in. He eventually gets shot. That happened. If you break the law, or if there's a, or you're alleged to break the law, you're going to go to trial. Yeah, the third case. Okay. The 2020 election. Interfering with the election. Is this trial bogus? Did Donald Trump not call and say, find me those 11,000 votes? Oh, guess what? There have been at least three people who've already pled guilty who were indicted with Trump. So if this is a bogus case, why did they plead guilty? One of them was a lawyer. It could be because they realized their asses were guilty. And they agreed to testify against the other defendants, including Trump. You can't call that trial bogus. You can't say it's unfair. The Democrats are going after him. If you break the law, you break the law. This man is not above reproach. This man cannot just do whatever it is that he wants to do. Tish James in New York took him to court for inflating his assets. Is that bogus? Reminds me of a certain man named Dan Morales. Dan Morales was a former Attorney General of Texas. Henry, go to my iPad. Dan Morales pled guilty to mail fraud and filing a false tax return. Morales pled guilty to counts 9 and 11 of the March 6, 2003 indictment. He admitted that he backdated official government contracts and forged government records for his personal enrichment and that of his friends. Count 11 of the indictment references Morales claiming his 1998 income as $39,734 when he knew the income to be substantially in excess of the amount stated on his income tax return. So now let's compare. Dan Morales went to prison for 4 years. That's a federal indictment. Donald Trump was accused and went to civil court of inflating his assets in order to apply for business loans. The reason I know the Dan Morales story, Dan Morales did the exact same thing. He went and applied for houses and cars, inflating. So are we saying that the Dan Morales case was bogus? See, this is the problem when you don't want to deal with facts. I'm not dealing with emotion. Here's the reality. Donald Trump literally lied about the size of his condo in Trump Tower. You know, the same man who they call small hands, and you know, that bothered him because he thinks something else is small. He lied. He told them, oh, my apartment is 30,000 square feet. It wasn't. I think it was like 10 or 11. That's a lie. He literally lied to obtain loans. You can't do that. If Roland Martin filled out a loan application and said, I've got a 25,000 square foot house and my house is valued at $4 million and I got a 6,000 square foot house and it's valued at $1 million, I lied. I can be prosecuted. So if I can be prosecuted, why can't Trump be prosecuted? Prosecuted and persecuted are two different things. Press play.
Because this ain't working.
Let me ask you this. We look at polls. Polls are always broken down demographically. And you see this major erosion in the Democratic base for Biden. African Americans, Hispanic Americans, young people, suburban women, for example. I mean, numbers that we've never seen before. In terms of a Democrat, if he doesn't get his base back, which I would argue he's been trying to do, starting with the State of the Union and his jacked up address, he's got no shot. Mm-hmm. And if Donald Trump could hold on to 5, 10, 15% of the numbers that he has now, he will win the next election. Mm-hmm. Why is that happening? That's my question.
Right there. Now, see, right there would have been great for Stephen A. to say, Sean, allow me to correct you, because what Sean is doing is he is speaking about these polls, namely the New York Times and Siena poll that has been showing that, oh, Donald Trump is going to get 20. He's getting 23% of black support. OK. Really? That's what you've been seeing, right? Well, guess what? Do you know what Fox News hasn't done? And unfortunately, what most mainstream media hasn't done, but we've done. We actually talked to the two black pollsters who did polls that specifically surveyed black people. Terrence Woodbury did a poll for Higher Heights of America and the National Coalition on Black Civic Participation in Black Women's Roundtable. He did a poll. They specifically polled black people. their poll is completely different from the New York Times Center poll. Now, let me help y'all out with some basic math. If the New York Times Siena poll polled 800 people, that means they polled a very small number of black people. So of their poll, a small number of black people said, I'm backing Trump. So when the stories were done, oh my God, Trump is getting 23% of the black vote. They were hyperventilating on Fox News, on MSNBC, and CNN. And all the, oh my God. They were like, oh my God, every single day. But then Terrence Whitbear's poll comes out, where 800 black people were polled. None of them covered it. Told a different story. Cornell Belcher, he did a poll for Black Pack, told a different story. Who did he poll? All black people. So if you're going to cite a poll on television, or in Sean Hannity's case, he tells Stephen A, five polls, that's where Stephen A should have said, let me help you out, Sean. This poll here of specifically black voters told a whole different story. That completely changes that narrative. But it's not just that. If you don't want to go with that poll, if you don't want to go with that one, well, guess what? The folks at Pew recently did a poll. And the folks at Pew recently showed that Trump ain't getting more than 10% of black voters. Oops. Say what? Did you just say that? In fact, check this out. I was sitting here looking at a tweet today. And you're going to love this here. This came out and it shows, and the tweet was, at this stage of the race, the black and Hispanic support for Biden at this stage is on par with previous years. Do you see that orange line? That's the 2020 election. The green line is 2016. So at this point, so you see right there where the purple line is, at this point right here, at about 15, 18 weeks, the numbers are on par with previous elections. This right here is net black support. Then you have net Hispanic support. So what you now are seeing, you now are seeing Biden's poll numbers increase with black and Hispanic voters. Guess what you also are seeing while that is happening? You're now seeing Biden closing the gap in the various battleground states with Trump. Y'all, it's April. So to think that April is going to look like November is crazy. This is why research, studying, examining the issues absolutely matter. Press play.
Well, first of all, the streets don't seem safe. And people want safety. We can sit up there and lament, quote unquote, law and order, which is what Donald Trump used to verbalize. But the fact is, the American people like law and order. We want our streets safe. We want to make sure that you've committed a crime. You get to go to jail. You don't sit up there and get arrested and you're out the same day. You don't want to assault people and you're out the same day. That's number one. Obviously, number two, the economy, which is usually number one, because people don't understand this when it comes, especially the black folks. Right? Let me tell you something right now, Sean. When you talk about the economy, to black folks, that means money. To everybody, it means money. But especially to us, okay, who are no longer the dominant minority in this country. Those are the Latinos. When we talk about the economy, we're not talking about, oh, the state of affairs economically or even the job participation rate. We're talking about the money that you keep in your pocket. When you go to the gas station and it's exorbitant prices, when you go to the supermarket and milk and bread and cheese and all of this other stuff is exorbitantly high compared to what it once was, that is a red flag to a lot of folks because the...
Right there. So we want to compare an economy pre-COVID to post-COVID. Sure, we can do that. While doing that, though, we might want to talk about that the black unemployment rate hit a lower point under Biden than it did under Trump. We might want to talk about that more black businesses have been created under Biden than Trump. We might want to talk about the fact that you have corporations that continue to jack up prices, even though the supply chain has been significantly diminished. We might want to talk about those different things. But here's the deal. Even with all of that, the fact of the matter is, when you look at these numbers, and this right here was the Newsweek story that just dropped last week, Donald Trump's hopes of black support stung by a new poll. A new poll has suggested Donald Trump would not garner significant support from black voters in November election. This is the Pew Research poll. It says 83% of black voters favor the Democratic Party, a 3% decline from 1994 when 86% aligned in this way. 12% support the Republican Party. This marks a 1% decline from 94 when 13% supported the party. Y'all, this is the actual Pew Research story. So, here's my whole point. If we're going to talk about black voters and what they are saying, we can't speak anecdotally. We actually got to use data. And the data totally disagrees with the assessment. Press play.
Money you keep in your pocket is what tells you whether or not the economy is flourishing or not. So those are just a couple of components that come into the equation. And dare I say something that might will probably be termed the most uncomfortable thing that I've ever had to articulate out of my mouth from a political perspective. But I got to tell you something. As much as people may have been abhorred by Donald Trump's statement weeks ago, talking about how black folks, he's hearing that black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what black Americans have gone through. He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. When you see the law enforcement, the court system and everything else being
exercised. Hold on. So I want y'all to run that back, because this right here is where I'm like, huh? So what Stephen A. is saying, because I actually posted a tweet, then he responded. What he is saying, because see, two things were said at one time. So I want y'all to roll it back. Two things were being said at one time. He says that he's not saying that Trump is being persecuted like black people. But so I want y'all to roll it back. I want y'all to play it again, because I'm going to unpack what he just said. Go.
That I've ever had to articulate out of my mouth from a political perspective. But I got to tell you something. As much as people may have been abhorred by Donald Trump's statement weeks ago, talking about how black folks, he's hearing that black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what black Americans have gone through. He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. When you see the law enforcement, the court system and everything else being exercised against him, it is something that black folks throughout this nation can relate to with some of our historic, iconic figures. We've seen that happen throughout society.
Stop right
there.
So
no matter what.
I would have loved to know specifically what historic, iconic figures, because I know Dr. King went to jail. I know Dr. Jim Lawson went to jail. I know that they went to jail, but they did not hold classified documents. They did not pay off porn stars. They did not try to overturn an election. They did not overstate the value of their properties to apply for business loans. So therefore, there literally is no comparison. Press play.
What race, what ethnicity you may emanate from, we relate to you when you're suffering like that, because we know we have.
Stop.
And that's what he articulated.
When you're suffering. Go to my iPad. This story is from June. This is from 2016. Hundreds claim Donald Trump doesn't pay his bills in full. Dozens of lawsuits allege the businessman didn't pay what he owed. And you go through right here. The small businessman won a bid for a $100,000 grand piano to install in Trump's Taj Mahal. Guess what? Trump refused to pay him, only paid $30,000. Show me a black man who could do that. 200 liens since the 1980s were filed by contractors and workers who said they were stiff. Show me a black woman who could do that. 253 subcontractors on a single project were not paid in full or on time. Show me a black woman, who could get away with that.
All right, ladies, and this is just some of the whole information right now. Now I'm going to play from Dr. Rashad Richie, Stephen A. Smith apology after he got basically busted.
I said so. Stephen A. Smith apologizes again, all right? Let me go to the original comment he made that caused outrage, and we'll show the apology. Here it is.
By Donald Trump's statement weeks ago, talking about how black folks, he's hearing that black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what black Americans have gone through. He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. When you see the law enforcement, the court system and everything else being exercised against him, it is something that black folks throughout this nation can relate to with some of our historic, iconic figures. We've seen that happen throughout society. So no matter what race, what ethnicity you may emanate from, we relate to you when you're suffering like that because we know we have.
It's damn shame. Stephen A. So let me say this, Stephen A. When you said our iconic leaders, I can only assume you're talking about people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, etc. So you have equivocated Donald Trump to the persecution that happened to people like Dr. King. Dr. King stood for righteousness. Donald Trump stands for evil. Dr. King believed in the greater good of humanity. Trump believes in the greater good of himself. Dr. King did not commit a crime against this nation. Donald Trump has committed many. With millions watching and many people benefiting from this program called Indisputable, we just need 1% of the viewers to become a paid member so we can continue to bring this content to you. Now back to the show. A week later, Smith apologized for his comments. Here it is.
A lot of folks in Black America seem pretty pissed at me right now. From friends and loved ones to colleagues, contemporaries, and dare I say, even the NAACP itself. Quite a few folks were put off, if not flat out offended, after my words were interpreted as associating support for Trump from the Black community with all the legal issues he's facing. For that, I sincerely apologize. To be clear, my words were misconstrued. I'm stating right here for the record that my words were taken out of context, misrepresenting and depicting me in a way I found every bit as insulting and disrespectful as folks in Black America evidently felt about what they thought I said. But I'll own it anyway.
Man, bring your ass to the bullpen. Please bring your ass to the bullpen, Stephen A. If you please tag Stephen A, troll him, I don't give a damn what you got to do. Producer, send the official invite out. Stephen A, I'm going to reserve the rest of my commentary to your happy ass jumping this bullpen with me. Because, sir, it is time for you to get a proper education. You have been reckless for far too damn long. So here it is, black voters.
Insofar as Trump gaining support in the black community, well, how about various publications with these headlines? The Chicago Tribune. This time, Trump really does seem to be making black voter inroads. Why? The Washington Post. Voters of color are shifting right. Are Democrats doomed? How about the New York Times? As black voters drift to Trump, Biden's allies say they have work to do. Axios wrote. Big Biden bummer. New York Times Siena poll shows gaps with key demographic groups. Wall Street Journal. Biden loses support among black men. The Hill. Biden losing support among black voters in swing states. Survey. Al Jazeera.
Why are black voters backing Donald Trump in record numbers? And CBS News, black voter support for Trump up from 4% to 23% poll finds. Why did I say all of that? Because I want to show you I didn't just open my mouth. I read, I listened, and I've seen a momentum shift, as we all have. Stephen A., you did just open your mouth. Obviously, you didn't read the articles, but because you cited them, I took the time to read every single one of them. All of those articles point to the inaction and the non-delivery of the Biden-Harris administration as a collective frustration being shown by black voters, in particular, young black voters in the United States of America. It is not indicative that black voters are somehow in cahoots, congruent to the policy of Trump being arrested. And nothing in these articles suggests what you stated on the record, dear brother, that he is getting support from black people because he, woe is him, being prosecuted by the criminal justice system. Black folk are saying to Democrats, policy-wise, get it together. It is still a very intellectual dynamic, even if you disagree with it. But you suggested, flat out said, it is because black folk identify with Trump being arrested, which, by the way, most black people in America will never be arrested. Most black folk in America will never have a felony. Most black folk in America will never go to prison. I don't know why you think most black folk in America would identify when most black folk in America don't even have the experience you speak of. Maybe you didn't know that either. I read every single one of those damn articles that you quoted, all of them. And every single one of them points to the inaction of the Democrat. It's a policy dynamic, not a dynamic of Trump being arrested. And then to the outlaw poll that you mentioned at the end, that Trump has over 20%, it was favorability rating rather than would vote for. You have to look at the question of the poll. The poll is not talking about, will you go and vote for Donald Trump? The poll was about basic likability, style, etc. Come on, man, get it together, brother. Sharon, thoughts here.
Well, it felt like your last explanation there was an introductory course that you perhaps talk to students about on day one. It's not something that once you get deep into the curriculum. I don't believe that Stephen A. took that, his words were taken out of context at all, because they weren't. You don't go on Hannity, you don't go on Fox if you wish to be accurately represented. That's not what you do. It was lazy. He did seem a little tired. But it was intentional, and it makes me very sad, but also very angry that this force in media has tiptoed over to too much of a caricature. Yeah. This is too much, and it's a representative of self-hatred or every man for himself. Forget about you.
Yeah, and the apology, non-apology.
Yeah.
I'm apologizing, but I really didn't do anything wrong, right. But I will own it. That's not how you apologize right. to Trump supporters when you offended them. You gave them a real apology, Stephen.
Oh, wow.
I think we deserve one too, dear brother. All right.
All right, listeners, as you heard, Dr. Rashad Richie and my brother Roland Martin, you know, Stephen A. Smith is complete out of all the information, completely wrong. His quote-unquote information are bogus, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, I agree with both Dr. Rashad Richie and Roland Martin related to what Stephen A. Smith said. And I guess, once again, he should focus and have a real apology, because what he say, you know, is not right. It's completely wrong, ladies and gents. I agree. And I hope that he get his act together and come to the sense and give a real, real apologies. Look at the facts. And I hope he also could show up on Dr. Rashad Richie to come and have a real conversation, because he's completely wrong in my opinion, ladies and gents. So I left the link in my YouTube channel if you want to watch the whole Roland Martin information that's break down, because I just play part of it because I don't want the podcast to be too long. But it's available for you. Go to my YouTube channel. In the description, there's a link that's going to take you directly, so you can listen to the entire breakdown of my Roland Martin breakdown, Sean Hannity and Stephen A. Smith. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on that note, I'd like to thank all of you people that listen to this awesome international podcast. Please keep sharing with your families and friends. Good Wine and Great Laughs podcast is come all the way from the bottom, move straight to the top, and aiming to be the number one spot. Please feel free to visit my YouTube channel, leave your comments, subscribe, and click on the like button every time you watch my video. I appreciate the support. Once again, this is your boy Casanova. Please be safe. Be kind and be blessed and do the best what you can do with what you got. And I'll see you next Saturday. Holla! Coming with the pull-up for the number one spot. Pushing my fat like a push out on the block. Holding my ground, sucker rappers get loose. Coming from the bottom, moving straight to the top. Coming with the pull-up for the number one spot. Pushing my fat like a push out on the block. Holding my ground, sucker rappers get loose. Coming from the bottom, moving straight to the top. Coming with the pull up for the number one spot. Pushing my fat like a push out on the block. Holding my ground, sucker rappers get loose. Coming from the bottom, moving straight to the top. Coming with the pull up for the number one spot. Pushing my fat like a push out on the block. Holding my ground, sucker rappers get loose. Coming from the bottom, moving straight to the top. Coming with the pull up for the number one spot. Pushing my fat like a push out on the block. Holding my ground, sucker rappers.